Dear ones, as we have come together this morning, this Lord's Day, the chapter that is before us, the portion of Scripture that we have read together, is a portion of Scripture that speaks about judgment. We know that when we come together, I don't know that there's not one person here that loves to hear about the love of God, the mercy of God that is revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Who doesn't like to hear about that? Because the love of God and the mercy of God gives me hope. It gives you hope. Hope is a beautiful thing because it's something that there's not a finality to something, but there's hope that something will be better. So I have hope because God is a God of love and mercy. And that was all shown to me in Jesus Christ. But God is also a God of law and judgment to come. That, I challenge, is maybe something that none of us really like to hear about. Because it speaks about a judgment to come that unless I have partaken of the love and mercy that is being offered, the other part of that is the judgment of God that is to come based upon his law. And it is a law that is immovable. It changes not. And so the scripture that we read today speaks about a chasm. A chasm, a gulf that is fixed, that cannot be crossed. It is the gulf that exists between heaven and hell. And the reality of it is that once we close our eyes to this life, which can be any moment, we will go to heaven or hell based upon my receiving the Lord Jesus' mercy and love that he offered to me on his cross, where he became sin so that he would impute unto me his righteousness by his blood when I come also to the cross. And so in this portion of scripture that we read, we find even in the beginning of this chapter, there is a theme that is based upon money and the love of money. And I will go to this length to say that, and I hope I'm wrong, but probably the least sin that you and I think about is money. We don't give it much thought. We don't think about money, what it can do to me and my soul. Every one of us here thinks that I can handle it. Gimme. Give it to me. I can handle it. I know I can. The more we acquire, doesn't alarm us, doesn't make us think, what is this for? Am I deserving of this? Is my labor, is it worth more than my brother's labor, who may labor even harder physically and not receive that, what I've received, because I deserve it, perhaps. I've worked hard and so on. But, you know, we all have our struggles in our lives. Every one of us has something. As a brother prayed, God knows every one of our thoughts. You don't know what the person next to you is thinking right now. And no one knows anything what we are thinking. No one knows unless it's revealed by us. But God does. And God knows everything. He knows our thoughts. And by our thoughts, even our thoughts, we will be judged. That means love and mercy revealed in Christ Jesus, law and judgment is going to come if the mercy and love of God is disregarded, based upon our thoughts and our doings and those things that we apply to in our life. So as our thoughts, we would think about, when we think about the judgments of God, we right away will think, okay, yeah, I did bad in this. I was angry here. I know I was angry. And I know I'm justifying my anger. That's wrong. I need to stop justifying my anger. Or I know I did this. And so we will think, but how many of us think I have a lot of money? Probably very little. Probably very few, if any of us, think I have a lot of money. What am I supposed to do with this? Well, Jesus is speaking here about money and its love. And what money and the love of money does to a professing Christian, to a Jew, is the example here. The Jewishness of the rich man did not save the Jew. His Jewishness didn't save him from the torments of a bottomless pit. You know, what do you think when you think of a bottomless pit? I picture myself just falling and falling and just falling. It's bottomless. You're like just falling in the terror of the fall. But yet, there's far more than that. There's fire. There's torment that you and I have never experienced nor can imagine. The same as heaven on the flip side is a place of beauty and joy that you and I have never imagined. And so you and I are given today a work to do. And the question is, are we working? Are we employed in God's vineyard? And I'm speaking to us, brothers and sisters. So, you know, there could be a soul that is given to you for you to reach out to, for you to go. When the Spirit prods you and you say, let someone else do it. To reach out to someone, to encourage a young man or a young lady who is wandering around, you see they're lost, they're not finding their direction. The direction is the narrow road. That's the direction. That's the path. You see them, they're not entering into that straight gate. And what do we, as brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus Christ, who He has given us His Spirit in a light? So you see, we know what a candle does. It burns itself out. A candle burns itself out. So you and I are given a light for a time. Are we using that light as a candle does? That's why Jesus says, you are the light of the world. Use that light to bring someone else to the gospel, to the love and the mercy that I offer in Christ Jesus. Are you being spent as the light to bring someone else to the Lord? Or do you come, and do I come, as I have my role, this is it? What is your role? And are we being spent for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ? And here we see that the Pharisees in the earlier portion of the scripture, when Jesus tells them about the unrighteous mammon, money, that if it is unwisely used, you will go to hell. You'll go to hell. The Pharisees heard this and they scoffed at Jesus, it tells us here. The Pharisees who were covetous heard these things and they derided him. And he says, ye are they which justify yourselves before men. Look at me, the Pharisee says. Look at my phylacteries. Look at this. Look at me. I don't wash my hands. I don't do all these things on the Sabbath. Look at me. He says, you're justifying yourself before men. And you know what? You're going to impress a man who is impressed by those things. You're going to impress him. You're seeking your glory from a man. You'll get it. You'll get it, he says. But God knows your hearts. This is what the brother just prayed. God knows every thought. God knows your heart. And that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. That what man glorifies and looks up to and is impressed by is an abomination to God. And so he speaks then, he comes to them with a story of a rich man and of Lazarus. And it's this rich man is a Jew. This rich man reads Moses. This rich man reads the prophets. His brothers read Moses and his brothers read the prophets. And what does Moses say? What does Moses say? We know what Moses says. It's something that is probably quoted from the pulpit more than anything else. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart. That's what Moses said. This man was reading Moses. He knows what Moses said. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul. And keep the words in your heart, these commandments which I give you this day. What do the prophets say? They say much, as Moses said much. Thus saith the Lord, Jeremiah 9, 23, 24. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. This is the rich man is reading this. And his brothers. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this. You want to glory? Glory in this, he says, that he understandeth and knoweth me. That I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. That's the law, and that's the prophets. They spoke to this Jew. He heard him. But he fared sumptuously. He did what is very normal of any man to do. I have. I need. I step up the quality of life. I'm stepping everything up because I have. The Lord is gracious. And so God doesn't leave us. He didn't leave this rich man in his folly. He didn't leave him unaware that the blessings that he had received from the Lord's hand, not from his own, but from the Lord, are not to be used on his own indulgence. To dress in the fine linens and purples which displayed wealth in that day. That's what purple was. It was the color of wealth, apparently. To show, look at my labors. Look at me. I'm a little bit above you. Did he think that? Probably not, but he did it. Maybe he doesn't allow himself those thoughts because he reads the law and the prophets. And so he doesn't want to condemn himself. He just doesn't really give it much thought. But God is merciful, and God placed at his gate a poor man. A poor man. To remind him. And that man was reminded, the rich man, the Jew was reminded. He was reminded. But it meant nothing to him. Why? The love of money meant more. If I give to this man, I will have less. Maybe I can't buy that purple. Maybe the color is going to be different, and it's not going to be what I want it to be, so that others can see. And so the man disobeyed. God in his mercy showing him, you have evil in your heart. There is evil that needs to be uprooted. The love of money is the root of all evil. There is evil in your heart. You don't care to uproot the evil that is in your own heart. As you, being a Jew, will condemn a non-Jew who doesn't do what a Jew does. So let's look now at today. Let's look at today. We read the law. We read the prophet. We read Moses. We read the prophets. We also have the apostles. It says, Apostle Paul says, godliness with contentment is great, great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's not what the world will tell you. That's not what your bank account tells you. You think great gain is purple. The gate that leads to my possession. The more I have, the greater the gain. The apostles say, again, in a different form, but the exact same message of the law and the prophets, Paul says to Timothy 6:6, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And so Jesus, in the earlier writings of this chapter, says, when the unrighteous mammon fails you, when that money fails you, which it will, what man did it not fail when he was dead in his coffin, laying, being viewed by us all? Did his money fail him? Of course. Make it of any good to him. It can't. You can't. It failed him. The unrighteous mammon failed. And so Jesus tells them, make friends with the unrighteous mammon, so that when it fails you, they could usher you into glory. And so, what does that mean? Use the wealth that I give you today for purposes that will usher you into the kingdom of God. In other words, no, it is not. You can look at this. We can look at this scripture and say, I'm saved by faith and faith alone. Amen. But there's a faith that purifies, Apostle Paul tells us in Galatians. There is a faith that purifies us. And it is that faith that reveals to me, that will purify me, that will show me that I am loving that which is evil. In this scripture, we read that that is money. In another scripture, we'll read that it is something else. So none of us here are without it, or have an excuse. So he says, we brought nothing into the world. It is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, listen, brothers, sisters, and dear friends, let's listen to again to what the Spirit is saying. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Let's let that sink in a minute. And he says, but they that be rich fall into temptations and a snare. This is something that we all feel. There is no snare for me in riches. I can handle it. They that will be rich fall into temptation. That doesn't necessarily mean those that are rich, those that will be rich, those that want to be rich, those that want something for their glory, for their look at me, for their purple and their sumptuous lifestyle. You say, well, we're going to compare ourselves to billionaires. We're going to say none of us had lived a sumptuous lifestyle. Well, let the Spirit discern that. Let's let the Spirit discern that. Because he says, if you have food and raiment, be content. So he says, they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. And he goes on and says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, just coveted, just wanted it, dreamed about it, thought about it, wanted, they which coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, that's you, my brother and sister. We are men of God. He says, flee these things. Run. Run from hell. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Wasn't this the law and the prophets? The things that God delights in? He says, O man of God, flee the love of money, and cling to those things which are in the law and the prophets. You see, no man has an excuse. And this man had no excuse. And he was cast into hell. And there's torment. And he wants out. And he looks and he sees Abraham. And he cries, Father Abraham, mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You know, there was a judgment that was preached by Noah for 120 years, the Bible tells us. He preached of a certainty of a judgment. And that judgment was a drowning. You know, I fear drowning. If I could just say it, I fear drowning. But that drowning is, many people die by drowning. And it's a fear to know that you inhale and you're going to just inhale water that will snuff your life out. And you know you're dying, and you know you can't hold it anymore, and you finally have to inhale, and you're dead. But you're dead. It's over. But eternity in hell is never over. And what Jesus is showing today to you, my dear friend outside of Christ, and to you and me, my brother and sister, is don't leave those who are destined for hell on that road. What are you doing? Are you faring sumptuously? Are you dressed in purple? Are you living in a lifestyle that shows that you don't care about righteousness and judgment and mercy and faith and love and meekness? Is that your life? Are you not worried about the soul that maybe the Lord has given to you? Maybe he didn't give it to others, but to you. You are to reach out. And when you quench the spirit and you know the Lord has just spoken to me, go reach out to this young man and talk to him. Parents need help. A mother needs help. A father needs help with a wayfaring child that maybe you and I can wake up. All we do is plant the seed and leave it to the Lord. You and I are not guilty of someone not coming. We are guilty if we've made no attempt to bring them to the Lord. You and I are guilty if we live sumptuously. Fast forward this to today, today's rich man. The gospel, living as the Jew lived, a Jewish life. The gospel came, I believed. I live a Christian life. And yet I missed entirely the law of God. And I'm not following after meekness. You see, this man loved things more than he loved God. He loved things more than God. Because the Bible, Moses told him, love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, thy soul, thy strength, everything. Love him more than anything. He didn't. You and I can say, I love God. I love him. I love God. Don't tell me I don't love God. I don't have to. Do you love things? Do you love things more than God? This man did. How do we know that? Jesus tells us. He didn't see the man that had the need that God placed at his gate. He didn't see him. But now he's in torment. But now he's in torment. And so, to you, my dear friend, you might say, well, you know, I really don't have these riches to deal with. I'm young. I don't have these things. But you have something else. You have something else that is keeping you from loving God. You love that lust, that desire, that pride, that something to be lifted up, to look for glory from a man. You have that. What is it? You love that more than God. And God will never take place, second place. He can't. Because it's unrighteousness and unholiness that takes God and bumps him down, and he'll never accept that. Though he is a God of great love and mercy. And so he tells this son, remember, in your lifetime, you received good things. You received. You lived sumptuously. You received. But now he's comforted. Lazarus comforted. He didn't receive those things you did. He didn't have those gates, and he didn't have that purple, and he didn't have what you had. But he entered into the pearly gates. But besides that, there's a problem. There's a great, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed so that they cannot go back and forth. You see, my dear friend, there is a road from earth to heaven. There is a bridge. Today there is no gulf, no water, no distance that cannot be bridged by mankind. Nothing. If you can't do it by a suspended bridge and by these massive bridges that are just awe-inspiring, we can't believe the engineering that was involved in creating these massive bridges that you can drive over and go between this gulf that separates land from land. If you don't have that, you have airplanes, and you fly over those things that can't be bridged. So there's bridges for everything, but this bridge does not exist. Because once you're in hell, and once you're in heaven, there's nothing that takes you from place to place. But right now, you are on the road to hell. You are on the road to hell. Why? Because you love things more than you love God. You love things more than you love God, and you are going to hell. This place that the worm dieth not, the fire is not quenched. There's torment. The place that King Agrippa will say, I remember when I was almost persuaded. I remember that. Too late. Too late. Felix, the governor, will remember, I trembled. I trembled at the word. I trembled. I believed. What happened? You left it there. Felix will remember. King Agrippa will remember. You will remember. All in hell will remember. I almost believed. I almost gave up everything, but the love of self was too great. I didn't love God enough. And now, let him that is unrighteous be unrighteous still. There's a petrifying moment that takes place. You cannot change now. As you died, so you will continue. It's over. There's no like, well, you know, maybe now in this torment, God will have mercy. It's over. The mercy is being offered today in Christ. So let's fast forward just a few verses, and we see this man is saying, there's nothing that can, you can't go back and forth. He says, okay. Well, that's how it is. What can you do? But go then and preach to my brothers. I got 5 brothers. They're Jews just like I was. They're doing the same thing I did. They have the same love for self more than God. They do. I know that because now I see. But they have the same problem. Go. Go tell them, please. Tell them so that they don't end up like I am ending up. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. That's the reply. The word of God is not being left where others who are in sin do not hear. You have the law. He says, you have. Moses, you have the prophets. Moses, we read what he is speaking. The prophets, we read what they are speaking. And of course, and many more things. And we have today the apostles too, which bring even a greater clarity in the sense that Jesus Christ did die already. He did resurrect. He did go back to the throne. He did. We have even more. We have one who rose from the dead to believe. And he says, they have that. He says, no, you don't understand. You don't understand. If someone were to come from the dead and stand before them, then they're going to believe. They're going to say, whoa, this man was dead, now he's alive, and this is what he's telling me? Okay, now it's time to shape up. You know, Lazarus was risen from the dead. Not this Lazarus. Lazarus was risen from the dead. And you know what the Jews did? They sought to kill him again because of the testimony of a God who raised him from the dead. So we think maybe a dream, maybe. You know, I read this week of, as an older story already, of a pastor. He died, and you know how we always hear, and then you see all these visions of heaven and so on. Well, this pastor said he was cast into hell. And he said it changed him forever. And I challenge that, because if Jesus doesn't change me, nothing will. That's what he says here. He says, but if they hear a man from the dead, then they're going to believe. He says, if they don't hear Moses, if they don't hear the prophets, and to us, if they don't hear the apostles, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And so, who is our persuasion? What is our persuasion? Where is our love? The bridge is the cross. It's the only intersection that you and I can get off of the road that leads to this torment. That this man, now, where are those comforts? Where's the fine linen and purple that he, and where is all that to comfort him? The unrighteous mammon failed him. The unrighteous thought is going to fail you. The unrighteous, name it, it's going to fail you. You're not going to be persuaded, though someone comes from the dead and says, hell is terrible. And gives us vivid descriptions of it all. And we would just, all it would do is stir an emotion within us. It was, oh, okay, now for sure. Now for sure, it's changed me forever. I've heard people say that when they saw a movie that depicted Jesus on the cross. It's changed me forever. It didn't change them at all. They thought about it for a moment, and then it passes away. That's man. That's who we are. None of us are better than another in that. That's man. That's the evil heart of a man. It's just always altogether evil. It must be born again. It must go to the cross. It must die to self to live, to be born again. Those who are not born again will not see the kingdom of God. John the Baptist said, behold, the axe is laid to the root. The axe fell, and the rich man was in hell. The axe is going to fall on me. The axe is going to fall on you. Where is eternity for my soul and yours? It's not a question of, I'm not sure. When you love things, when you love self, your heaven is earth. That's your heaven, because this is what it's about. Your heaven is earth. Your hell, eternity is your hell. That's it. So Jesus is calling us to look at the law, look at the prophets, look at the apostles, look at him. He will reveal himself, as he says. And he also says, as he reveals himself, which he has today to every one of us, he's revealed himself. Now, my will has to be to do the Father's will, and then he will show me who he is. But my will has to go down. And that's the problem that you and I face and struggle with every day. So when we give our will over into his will, he will reveal things to us that will keep us focused on him, on his glory, and bringing him glory, and bringing others to him. May God bless his word. Amen.